Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 349 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her hot flashes. Yeah, man, it's about time. How about Hot Flash 101, everything you need to know. I'm going to love doing this show. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. Why? Because we love hearing from you. Your feedback is that important. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
Hot flash? What hot flash? Well, listen, honey, if you're in your 20s and 30s, listen up because something's going to be happening to you once you hit the golden age of 40 and on up. So don't just be saying hot flashes are for people who are 50 and over. You're going to learn a lot today. And every single woman out there needs to know what we're about ready to talk about. All right. My guest for Hot Flash 101, everything you need to know, is Dr. Janet Carpenter. She's not only a dear friend and colleague, but she is absolutely preeminent in her knowledge about all things hot flash, menopause, and perimenopause. Over the past two decades, Dr. Carpenter's research has focused on preventing breast cancer through identifying non-hormonal treatments for menopausal hot flashes. She created and tested ways of measuring hot flashes, created and tested theories to use in research, and has tested treatments for hot flashes and other menopausal symptoms. She is nationally renowned, and all I can tell you right now is that I am so blessed and grateful she's here today to share her wisdom. Janet, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Well, good morning. So nice to be here with you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, okay, now here's the deal. Why did you get involved with this in the first place? Why did you care? You know, like, I mean, of all things to be really devoting your extensive, amazing career to, why this?
You know, I'm so glad you asked me that. When I was working on my PhD dissertation, I was interviewing some of the breast cancer survivors that I was working with, and they were all having hot flashes. They would suddenly turn red, get all sweaty, start taking off some of their clothes, and I thought, what is going on? And I had been a cancer nurse for 7 or 8 years and didn't know that my patients would be having hot flashes. So I got really interested in the symptom because I thought, I didn't know this, then other people don't know about it. And the more I learned, the more interested I became. I tend to focus on what we don't know, and there was a lot we didn't know about hot flashes. So that's how I got interested in hot flashes.
You know, isn't that interesting? You know, both of us are scientists. You come from the world of nursing. I come from, you know, the doctor place. And both of us, you know, in our research careers are probably always bumping up with discoveries, things that just happen kind of random. In your case, it was totally random, that really gets you going down a golden path. That's really the essence of science. And that's one of the reasons why I love this so much. So you then went on for years and years doing your scientific writing, obtaining grants from the National Institutes of Health, and really looking at this so closely. You know, your surveys and your tools have been validated such that in my own work, I use your validated tools and am very blessed that you're now advising us on some of our own research. where I am working. So that's great. Now, here's what's really cool. When I first met you, I did a little due diligence and I stumbled on a film. You actually made a video about hot flashes. And you showed the heat of a hot flash using a special camera. Why did you make this film? And tell us all about it, because I want everyone out there in the Herb podcast land to run on over and have a little viewing here, because I'm telling you right now, it's amazing. So go for it, Janet.
Well, one of the big issues that we deal with, I think, as women, is that, you know, sometimes we're not believed when we talk about what we're feeling. And one of the problems with hot flashes is that we still deal with this myth that hot flashes aren't real. And it's a very much an inner sensation of heat. So the heat is coming from the inside out, which is hard to explain to people. They also come on really suddenly. And sometimes people have these really intense feelings, but they don't look very different as we look at them from the outside. So we wanted to use a thermal camera. It picks up color changes with different temperatures. So we hope that the thermal camera would pick up changes in the skin, colors in the skin, as women got hot with a hot flash. And so we had a willing volunteer whose hot flashes were triggered with a glass of wine and sitting on a nice hot heating pad. And sure enough, she had a great hot flash for us. She was sitting across from me. She was talking about how she was sweating, her hair was sticking to the back of her neck. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't tell any difference at all. But sure enough, the thermal camera picked up color changes on the skin. And what you see on our film is this bright orange and yellow, these real hot colors along her cheek as she's wiping some sweat off her face, and definitely like on the inside of her ear is bright red. And that's where she was feeling the heat of the hot flash. So in making the film, it was a way for us to document what happens during a hot flash, to make it visual for people, and to show that hot flashes are real. So it's something that people can use, they can share with friends and family who might not understand what they're feeling and say, this is what's happening in my body.
Amazing. And how could someone view this? Where do they go?
We have a YouTube channel, Hot Flashes Cool, and hotflashescool.com also has links to the video. Video that's part of an art exhibit that we created to teach the public about menopausal hot flashes. So we have 7 elements in the art exhibit, one for each year that women will feel hot flashes at a minimum, 7 to 10 years. And it's all about hot flashes, nothing but hot flashes.
All right. So,
but we have some film, we have some music, and we have some sculptural pieces.
I'm telling you, it was just mind-boggling when I saw it, and I immediately referred, you know, heaven knows how many women to view it just to be able to get enlightened. Speaking of enlightened, let's back up a little bit. What is a hot flash? What is this whole issue of perimenopause, menopause, beyond menopause, and hot flashes? So take it away, Janet.
Yeah, this is a really interesting phenomenon. So scientifically, we have a lot of clues about what causes a hot flash. There is something that happens as women go through menopause, their estrogen levels start to drop. When those estrogen levels change fairly quickly over time, women have many more menopausal symptoms like hot flashes. So women who go through a surgical menopause who have a really abrupt change in their estrogen levels, will have the most severe hot flashes. Women, my breast cancer patients, go through chemotherapy and take other medications that lower their estrogen levels. They also have a much more severe experience of hot flashes. We know that there are chemicals in the brain that are involved in hot flashes. We think that some of the neurotransmitters that are related to depression, you might have heard of things like serotonin and norepinephrine. Some medications that are used to treat depression also work for hot flashes, and they work really quickly. And for depression, they take much longer to work. So there's some kind of neurological pathway in the brain that's similar, that's triggering and causing those temperature changes. There's areas of the brain that are sensitive to temperature that control our body temperature. There are scientists that have shown changes in body temperature in women who are having hot flashes. And what happens is women have this really narrow zone of comfort. And so usually, you know, you can go about your daily life and you do some things that might cause you to sweat. You do some other things, you might get a little bit cool, but you have kind of a range where most of the time during the day you're comfortable. And in women with hot flashes, that range is really, really narrow. So any small kind of exposure to heat, they'll rapidly go into a hot flash. Any changes where ambient temperature becomes too cool, they can become chilled and get shivers. So, women with hot flashes, it's often not just the hot flashes. It's also this, like, I'm just not comfortable temperature-wise. Too hot, too cold, never really just right. I liken this to the Goldilocks syndrome, right? Where she was never, you know, had a difficult time finding the right thing. And women with hot flashes are too hot, too cold regularly during the day. So we know there's changes in the brain. We know that there's some medications that work. We know that estrogen is involved. And certainly some behaviors that women have can make a difference. The kind of clothing that you wear, certain clothing can trap heat. One of the things I did when I went through menopause is I threw out all my turtlenecks because I couldn't stand that that heat that got trapped around my neck and my upper chest. So, you know, there's lots of things that can trigger these hot flashes. I think to say exactly what they are is really difficult, though. That's the only other thing.
Yeah, and I think that we're going to go through this in a minute when we talk about the myths around hot flashes, but just to add a little bit more color to your excellent explanations here, there is natural menopause, meaning that this occurs as a gradual weaning off of estrogen, progesterone primarily. These are the sex hormones in a woman over the course of time, starting when? I mean, at the extreme, it can start as early as a natural part, as the late 30s. Obviously, there are other people who are extreme outliers and do it before that. But on average, if you look at a bell-shaped curve, certainly by the age of 45, you're feeling something, that's for sure. One way or the other, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's about a quarter of women, so one in four women, won't ever feel a hot flash. And what we think is happening in those women's bodies is there's a very gradual, slow shift in the hormones. I have a friend who is 55 years old, and she was 9 months without a menstrual period. She thought she was well on her way to postmenopause and had another period. And she was so frustrated. And then I said, the good thing is you're probably not going to have hot flashes. And she said, well, actually, I don't really have hot flashes, right? Because she's still in this gradual phase out of the hormones. Whereas other women who have this abrupt change, even if they have a natural menopause, they can have an abrupter change in their hormones. They will experience more hot flashes.
Absolutely. And I want to make sure people understand the terminology here. And you began to hint at this, and that is perimenopause, peri meaning around, basically. Perimenopause is sort of the opening act for menopause, meaning that you're still having menstrual cycles, however irregular. They could be perfectly regular all the way up until your menstrual cycles cease, or they can be pretty irregular, like a little roller coaster ride. And it changes year to year, month to month sometimes. So it's variable, but you're still having a menstrual cycle. Even if it's one cycle in 10 months, you're still having that cycle. The ovaries are still trying to, you know, cough up a little something-something for you, and that's what's going on. Then, When you have 12 solid months with no menstrual cycle, welcome to menopause. Now, that being said, if, to your point, Janet, if, you know, after those 12 months have occurred, then 3 months later you have a menstrual cycle, you have to start the countdown all over again for that 12 months. So it's all about the menstrual cycle and its presence one way or the other. And again, this is your body weaning itself off very naturally, in this case of natural menopause, with the sex hormones. I was also told during my years at the National Institutes of Health, I was working in developmental endocrinology, that women who tend to have more severe hot flashes tend to be much more sensitive to estrogen and sensitive to estrogen's effects, which I find quite fascinating. Because again, there's a broad range of, yes, I have a hot flash, but it, you know, maybe one woman, it's just not that big a deal. And in other women, it's just like, you know, bringing them to their knees. And so again, get ready for variability. Lots of things can happen here, but at the end of the day, it's a hot flash. Now, Janet, would you also agree that the hot flash, as it were, is a bit of an inside job? And that is, you're actually igniting a process that's inside the body. You're dealing with the nervous system. You're dealing with the brain. You're dealing with stress hormone. All of these things are mixing up and igniting to be able to produce the hot flash, would you say?
Yes, I love that description. That's absolutely what happens.
Yeah, so, you know, always consider this in, you know, an inside job. It's your body and your brain and your hormones all, you know, playing this amazing game together. Where one affects the other, which affects the other, which affects the other. And then next thing you know, you have this feeling that you described so beautifully and captured so well in your film, which is this feeling of heat, real discomfort. Many women, by the way, have an aura. I'm using that term loosely because people know what that is, kind of with a migraine. And that is, you get this feeling something's going to be coming on. And it could be you feel chills. It could be you feel just anxiety rising in your body. You could feel another temperature rise, perhaps. It's your perception. But all of this, listen, it's natural menopause. You know, this is part of, remember the real party we had when our menstrual cycles first started? Not. And so why should this be any fun? And so here we are on the other end of it. And this is what's going on right now. All right. Now, let's take us through the myths around hot flashes. Go for it, Janet.
I think the very first one is hot flashes aren't real, which we talked about with the film. They're definitely real. This is something that affects women. I've talked to pregnant women who say that they're feeling hot flashes. Some women will have hot flashes up through their 80s. Other women won't have any hot flashes, but hot flashes are definitely real. The second myth is that menopause is an awful, terrible thing. And I think that we see images, when you, search, on your computer for information about menopause, you're overwhelmingly encountering these negative images of women, suffering, you know, hands to their forehead, head thrown back, you know, oh, what am I to do? And we don't, you know, we don't feel that way when we start our periods, right? We think of starting our periods as a rite of passage, as growing, as a transition. And when we stop our periods, I think we should think in the same terms. It's a transition. It is, you know, moving on to something else, and it's not necessarily worse than what we had before.
Yeah, you know, I it's interesting. One of the, you know, just sort of taking off from that, is, just for grins, everyone out there, just look up a little history on menopause and how it's been perceived over, you know, the decades, and all of the crazy stuff that's been said about a woman in menopause, you know? I mean, don't you think, Janet?
Yes, yes, yes. It is. It's actually quite shocking when you begin to look at things. You know, women have been called hysterical. It's a little bit unbelievable what we see. And I think it's a new day. It's a new age. And, you know, we need to think of this as a transition. And that's really all it is.
I love it. I love it. We're normalizing and saying this is okay. It's a natural transition. And with the only exceptions, when woman at whatever age, prior to the typical age 51, 52, is thrown into menopause because of cancer. And this isn't just breast cancer, but it's also gynecologic cancer, which, you know, oftentimes results in the removal of ovaries and therefore surgically thrown into menopause, let alone what's going on with chemotherapy, et cetera. So those things, when those occur, then the woman's body has no time to be able to go through the natural, normal, gradual weaning off estrogen, progesterone. Instead, she's thrown into it. And that's what makes it so much more severe and devastating, as you explained so well. So what's the next myth here?
The next myth is there's nothing I can do about my hot flashes. And that is just absolutely not true. Women think about hormone therapy as their only option. And some women don't want to take hormone therapy, or they can't take it because of a family history of cancer. And they get frustrated because they don't think there's anything else that they can do. And there are lots of different treatment options. There are other prescription medications that women can take that will help their hot flashes. There are non-drug things that women can do for their hot flashes. And some of the things that are available to women are even like self-help programs that are available. There's a clinical hypnosis self-help program that's evidence-based in science by trusted scientists that has been shown to help hot flashes. So there are definitely options for people, and women really need to talk with a healthcare provider to figure out what's the best option for them. And sometimes doing nothing can be a reasonable treatment option, and women can choose not to treat their hot flashes, and I think that's really reasonable. And sometimes that choice depends on how much hot flashes are affecting sleep or a woman's mood or other aspects of their life. But there are definitely treatments available.
Well, and then adding to this, because I know you're waiting for me to do this, you and I are collaborating on some really cool research. And this research involves yet another brand new option to be able to help women, and actually men too. Little side note, men get hot flashes. Yeah, wipe the shock off your face. Go back to one of my earlier podcasts that I did with a man whose name is Jeff Marchi, who has prostate cancer. He was also involved in a similar research project with me using a digital device, which I'm going to be describing in a minute. But men are thrown into hot flashes when they're placed on specific kind of drugs that drag down their testosterone and put them into a horrible hormonal imbalance, and thus very severe hot flashes. But getting back to what you and I are doing, we're about ready to launch a really interesting natural menopause, in this case, project. It's a research study. It's a feasibility and preliminary efficacy study using something called the EMBR, that's EMBR, wave, just like you wave to somebody, WAVE. And the EMBR wave is already available commercially, and women are already using it, and so are men, for hot flashes and menopause. But we're going to be looking at it at a very granular level to really examine this device and its effect upon stress hormone. Does it help? Does it not? We're scientists, you and me, Janet, and so we're going to be looking at this. We're also going to look at its effect on sleep. You know, can you get a decent night's sleep when the hot flashes and the drenching sweats are under better control? I'm hoping, so we'll see. But again, it's the Ember Wave, EMBR Wave. And if you go to Ember Wave on the web, you can actually see what this looks like. It looks like it's a wearable that's worn on the inside of your wrist, not on the outside like a watch, but on the inside, because that's where you've got cold and heat receptors. And what this does is it's a brain hack. It's a biohack. And what it does is it works by communicating through those little receptors on the inside of your wrist, through the nervous system to the brain, to be able to alter your perception of feeling either cold or warm. This is really exciting brand new science that was developed by a team at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who now are overseeing all of this. It's really cool stuff, and it's also nice to know that women now have other options they never heard about before, especially in the age of tech. So, you know, scope this wearable out, because I think that this might be very helpful to all of you. And Janet and I will let you know in about, another 6 months, 7 months, you know, the results of this really interesting study, to be able to continue the discussion about validating this type of brand new tech. You know, just keep that in mind. All right, now let me ask you a question. What frustrates you as a menopause expert?
One of the things that frustrates me is there's no oversight of herbal supplements. So there are many herbal supplements that are marketed to women. It's a, you know, billion-dollar industry. And we have good research showing that some of the ingredients in these products are either not effective for hot flashes. So we've actually studied them and shown that they don't work for hot flashes. Or sometimes there are things that can interfere with other medications that women are taking. So things get marketed as a cure-all for hot flashes. And the regulations for those things to get approval are not at all the same as for medications. And so we have, you know, I mean, it's like snake oil, right? We're having women try all these things. They're spending a lot of money on them. And in my mind, they're wasting their time and probably getting more and more frustrated by hot flashes and difficulty sleeping because they're trying things that don't work rather than going to the evidence of what does work. So that's one of the things that frustrates me as a scientist. I think that the only other, well, not the only other thing, but one other thing that frustrates me, and this is really personal, in that we did a study on slow deep breathing, and we showed that it didn't work for hot flashes. And we weren't the only group to show that. Around that same period of time, there were other studies that also showed that slow deep breathing really doesn't work for hot flashes. It will help calm you down, but it's not going to help the feeling of heat or sweating or anything with the hot flash. And yet, very, very reputable sources on the internet continue to say that slow deep breathing works for hot flashes. And again, I think this is something that just leads to frustration, where women are trying these things, it doesn't work for them, and they're left feeling like nothing will work for them, when really we just need to get them to treatments that we know do work if they want to be treated for their hot flashes.
Okay, so I hear your frustration, to say the least. And, you know, let's get political here. All right, let's do it. How come nobody talks about menopause out there? How about, you know, this has been sort of a verboten, you know, topic. It's like, oh man, it's a downer. It's right up there with, hey, you know, aging and all the rest of this. There's so many stereotypes and crazy stuff going on. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm looking at all of the activists across the pond, in the United Kingdom and in England, where, for crying out loud, they got some girlfriends over there just shouting and ranting and raving, saying, how come nobody is paying attention to the fact that, think about this for a second, when a woman is reaching her prime in her career, you know, it's usually like in her 50s, certainly in her 60s, but 50s, I mean, she's really rising up there. She's being put in leadership roles and whatever else. Oh, go figure. Just when that's happening, she's also experiencing menopause, which sometimes can really, you know, hamper and hinder some of this. I mean, you know, here's the nightmare scenario. You're chairman of the board, chairwoman in this case, and, you know, you're leading a board meeting, and then boom, a hot flash decides to show up right in the middle of the meeting. Right? I mean, what are you going to do? So what you do is what women have done forever, you know, whip out some tissues, kind of, you know, try to pat down a lot of the drenching sweat, hope that nobody notices, and keep, you know, soldiering through. Enough already. Come on now. You know, here's what's really good. Tell me if I'm wrong here, Janet. But the young ones, you know, the millennials and, you know, the Gen X's, you know, they're basically opening their mouths now about menstrual cycles. You know, I always call it the M&M, you know, menstrual and menopause, the two words that nobody ever said a damn thing about forever, right? And so now suddenly it's a cool thing. And now we have new technology, apps and devices and heaven knows what else, talking about what? Talking about menstrual cycles, tracking, optimizing, fertility, pregnancy. Okay, so I say, you go on with your bad self, young ones, and I'm glad you've opened up the conversation. But here's the part where I laugh. So, you know, now you're done with, you know, your pregnancies. What do you do, like fall off a cliff or something? Suddenly, nobody picks up any conversation again until you're menopausal. So let's just say your last kid was at the age of 35, right? And now you're menopausal 52. What happened in those gap years? You know, it's like, did you disappear off the face of the earth? How come no one's talking about what's going on with women during that time and giving them evidence-based, you know, solid, credible tools, techniques, and tips, and in this case, like I mentioned, the device, the Ember Wave, all of those things to be able to help us, you know, through that, you know, those years that seem to disappear. I mean, what do you think about what I just said?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we don't prioritize women's health. We see that from pregnancy onward. As a nation, I think also we could make a case where most parts of the world don't prioritize women's health. And I think the scenario you described is really interesting, where the woman in the board meeting is trying to hide the fact that she's in menopause, right? Because we still think of menopause as this horrible, terrible thing that means you're getting old and aging isn't good. And, you know, we're no longer young and fertile and capable of reproducing. And therefore, you know, we've lost some value in some way as women. And wouldn't it be wonderful if women all over the world simply said in the middle of that board meeting, please excuse me, I need 10 seconds. I'm having a menopausal hot flash.
I mean, wow.
And, you know, what if they owned up to it?
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's crazy.
And taught people, I need 5 seconds here to regroup and I'll be fine, right? And then I'm going to move on. But again, I think partly because we tend to hide it. We also, you know, we don't have healthcare providers that are well-trained in menopause. There have been a number of surveys that show, very unfortunately, that healthcare providers are not well-trained to manage women at menopause. It's just not part of the curriculum that residents and physicians go through, even nurse practitioners. We have a North American organization that can actually certify people as a menopause practitioner. But unfortunately, there are many parts of the country, and my own hometown is one location where we don't have a menopause certified clinical practitioner. Our experts have retired now, and there is no one that is filling their shoes, which is really unfortunate because women just don't get the same kind of care. And it is a, you know, women's health needs to be a specialty. Menopause needs to be a specialty. We need to pay attention to what women are thinking and feeling. Healthcare organizations need to prioritize the health of women. I would love to see that change. I try every day in my work to be part of that change.
Well, come on now. You've been at this for decades as a top-level researcher and leader in this field, and really opening up and enlightening both, you know, clinicians, researchers, and the consumer about what goes on with this whole menopause thing. I'm tired, seriously. All right, I'm going to get on my little soapbox just a moment while I position myself well on my soapbox. Okay, I'm just plain tired of women being marginalized like this. This is stupid, and I'm not going to be part of it. I'm not going to be part of the toxicity that goes on with all of these stereotypes about an older woman. When I say older, I mean, heck, after the age of 50, you know, women are kind of already being marginalized. You know, what's her value in life if she can't produce children? Well, excuse me, have a conversation with Martha Stewart, Oprah Winfrey, I could go on. You know, I think they're kind of productive last time I looked. And come on now. We need to redefine and reframe how we're dealing with this very natural part of our life. Now, you know me. I'm a healthy lifestyle, you know, expert and fanatic. And what I usually like to say is, if you really want to do well, and here's a little heads up to you, especially the younger ones out there who are listening, if you really want to do well, you lay down a foundation right now. Don't wait. Don't say, well, no, I'll wait till I'm like 51. Clearly you can. That's an option. But make your life a little easier. Start at whatever age you are now and eat healthier. Get your physical activity, which is so terribly important. All of this, and I think you'd agree, Janet, has been proven to help women navigate all of these issues that they're confronting with the entire aging process. Good grief, we're just talking about hot flashes. I mean, we could be talking about things like body composition shifts, where all of a sudden, you know, one day you look in the mirror and you're an hourglass. The next day you look in the mirror and you're a shot glass. Like, suddenly everything just sort of moved around, especially to the belly. Like, what happened here? And this is what I've written books about. You know, you got to be on track to take good care of yourself. You mentioned meditation. You mentioned sort of, you know, ways to be able to calm yourself down and all the rest of it. So important, so terribly important that you're taking care of stress. I got newsflash for you, and we have some really beautiful studies on this, and that is if your stress is out of control, not getting enough sleep, stress out of your brains, you know, the usual woman's life, then it will further exacerbate what you're already experiencing in terms of the usual experiences of menopause itself and perimenopause. So please clean, do a little homework now, you know, and clean up your lifestyle choices and how you live to be able to make all this much, much better. And just, you know, Janet, by you and I doing this podcast, which will go out to a ton of people, I hope everyone out there is feeling more powerful today about bringing this issue up. and by, you know, navigating it and dealing with it in a way that makes sense. I want everyone out there to just say, this is a natural process. Do it well, optimize it, you know, and learn everything you can about options, experiment, but don't fall for snake oil. You know, make certain that your choices come from credible sources. What else would you add to that, Janet?
Yeah, I think that's so important. You know, good self-care is always important, no matter what age you are. Good information, good quality information, and a good relationship with a healthcare provider. I mean, those are really just so important to women's well-being across their entire lifespan. Really, really important. I think your point about stress is so important, especially in today's world, where our stress has just gotten so much worse with the pandemic and other things going on around the world. You know, trying to decrease your stress levels is really important.
What's really important also, now that I think about it, is there's another issue associated with hot flashes, and that is sleep. You know, when do hot flashes, I mean, what do you think they do? They just work during the day? No, this is a 24/7 situation. And so think about this. You know how really rotten you feel in the morning if you haven't had a good night's sleep? I mean, the last thing on your mind is, hey, I think I'm going to hit the gym and really work out and do whatever. Hey, I'm going to pay attention to healthy nutrition today. No, what'll happen is you'll wake up, you'll fall out of bed, and you'll say, I feel so rotten, I can't see straight. And you'll make, you know, terrible lifestyle choices, because that's what happens when you don't have enough sleep. But further, it really, really puts a dent into your health. I mean, you know, when you look at sleep, the relationship, and this is all published data, when you look at the relationship between, you know, poor sleep, sleep deprivation, and dementia, hello, right? So if you want to be able to be proactive, you got to get better sleep. To get better sleep, you've got to, you know, research, you know, how best to be able to control the hot flashes and the sweats at nighttime that keep waking you up at all, you know, hours. It's very important. And, you know, not to sound like a broken record, but this new device, that this wearable called the Ember Wave, has an all night mode where it gives you cool sensations all night long, so that it helps to control the hot flashes and the drenching sweats. And I never said it, they went completely away. They may, who knows? But the issue is, you want to feel better relief and control, and know that you have better control over your life. I mean, what a bummer to wake up in the morning and just never know when another hot flash is going to slap you in the head, because they're oft times, not always, but oft times, random, unpredictable. And yes, they occur at really horrible times, like in the middle of a board meeting or something. So, you know, sleep is so important. Is that what you found in your studies too?
Yeah, absolutely. Sleep is so important. And one things, you know, that's really important to think about is that we have shown that women will have hot flashes all night long, even though they feel like they're sleeping. And we know that those hot flashes disrupt their sleep pattern. And so even for women who aren't waking up with drenching night sweats, but are having hot flashes during the day, you know, the sleep might not be so good. And so if women are waking up feeling really tired, even though they've slept all night long, it could be because those hot flashes are interrupting the pattern of sleep. And it might be worthwhile to try something to help get rid of or control those hot flashes a little bit, which can, you know, then help women sleep better. And as you say, just overall, you know, improve their health so much.
And, you know, I'm a physician, and I'm a physician who, before I whip out a prescription pad, you know, I think twice. And so when, you know, the classic way to be able to, you know, deal with this is to ply a woman with antidepressants and sleeping pills and anti-anxiety pills, all of which have their own side effects anyway, I'm not thrilled. And that's why when I met you and I knew that you were looking for non-medicinal ways to be able to help women with hot flashes, then I did the little happy dance, because now I knew that we were really aligned and that we could really help enlighten women about other options as well. So as we're looking at this whole issue, you know, tell me how, I mean, you're a nurse and a menopause expert. Your research is focused primarily on hot flashes. How has or does your research help women today?
Oh, thank you for asking that. I have done research that helps us better measure hot flashes, and that helps us show whether treatments work or don't work for women. It helps us document that and generate that scientific evidence that's so important. Because we're able to measure the hot flashes better, we're able to design better studies to test these different treatments. I was part of a national network called Ms. Flash that was funded by the National Institutes of Health. And then I've also had other funding, and most of those studies have been testing different kinds of treatments for hot flashes. So we've, as you mentioned, we've tested medications, we've tested hormones, we've tested non-medicinal things, and we've shown what works and what doesn't work for women. And that really, I think, makes a difference in women's everyday lives. Because then they're, you know, they're able to access information. Their healthcare providers can access women or access information that is, you know, basically a summary of what works and doesn't work for hot flashes. So that's how my research really helps move women's health forward.
Well, how do women learn more about your research?
One of the things they can do is that they can open any browser and type in my name, Janet S. Carpenter, PhD. And there are a lot of publications that come up. There's a lot of information that comes up about me. Many of my publications are what we call open access, which means that they're available and accessible to anyone, anywhere in the world. And so, you know, you can read about those papers. You can read about me at Indiana University School of Nursing. And, you know, I do get the occasional email from women who want more of an individual consult about hot flashes or have some questions. And I'm always happy to answer those emails and interact with people directly.
That's fantastic. And what's really wonderful is making yourself as a nationally renowned expert available to so many women out there. I just think that there's mass confusion, and women really need to get a better high level understanding of what's going to work for them and not. And hey, my provider brethren out there, would you please get some certifications? Would you please, you know, get as much information as possible? Well, what's the best way for a provider out there to really, you know, amp up their knowledge base on all of this? Do you think they should just go to the North American Menopause Society's journal and maybe attend meetings, or what should they do?
You know, I think the best resource for information is menopause.org, which is the North American Menopause Society. On the main page, there's a tab for clinicians, healthcare providers, and there's also a tab for women. And that has a lot of up-to-date, kind of trusted resources that women are looking for. And there's also great information for healthcare providers. The North American Menopause Society is the group that does the credentialing for becoming a menopause certified clinical practitioner, which is a, you know, special course, a certification exam, and it allows people to have that special training to really be able to address women's menopausal concerns.
Fantastic.
So menopause.org is a great resource.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right, everyone. I told you this was going to be an awesome show, and I hope you were kind of writing all kinds of notes and reminders as we went along, because Dr. Janet Carpenter was just a fount of knowledge here and giving you information from a credible level that you can believe as a woman at any age who's got questions about this transition time in her life and how we should be activists and advocate for ourselves about opening up the discussion about menopause, perimenopause, and all things hot flashes, let alone all the other fun things that happen. Janet, thank you so much once again for being on the Her podcast.
Oh, thank you, Pam. It was my pleasure. I'm so glad you invited me to do this. It was fun.
Awesome. And everyone out there, run on over to iTunes right now and rate and review the show. I'm waiting to hear from you. Why is this important? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. And please stay safe and stay well.